bounces in for the touchdown.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th-and-1.
So, anyways, with that, time jerks.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to another edition of 4th-and-1. I am Nick Jacobs, and we are joined again by Todd Palmer via phone. Todd, what's your week been like? I've been curious, man. I FaceTime you from time to time. I may talk to you, but I don't get to know about what's going on in Sir Childrick's world.
Well, once again, my kids aren't in school, and I'm working from home.
Uh-huh.
So it feels like a very, very long episode of Groundhog Day at this point.
Okay, so you have nothing new going on in your life then? You didn't get like a new hat or maybe a new sandwich you're trying?
I got some tile to carpet transition pieces that I'm going to install this weekend in my house. I'm also going to assess my scrap wood situation and consider making a cabinet for outside to keep grilling supplies in, to get stuff out of the garage. I mean, it's really exciting times in the old Palmer household right now.
I mean, you got a lot going on in your life. I just don't know if you have enough time to do all that after what you just told me. Are you sure going to be able to get all that done this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm committed to the effort, all right? So we'll make it work.
All right, outstanding, Todd. I'm glad to hear about your week. I've been curious, and now I know.
I guess the biggest development in my life this week is probably I did go ahead and sign up for Hulu, and I am rewatching Lost because that's one of my favorite shows.
Isn't there another show you're watching that I told you about?
I have watched a few episodes of Letterkenny. Yeah.
Uh huh. Pitter-patter, Todd.
That's right. Pitter-patter on to the news of the week, son.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, brah. So anyways, as Todd is referencing, we're talking about the return of Bashaud Breeland. That now makes it 20 of 22 Chiefs that were technically listed as the starters in the Super Bowl. Even though you can add Kendall Fuller and you can add this person and that person, those are technically the 20 of 22 starters that are returning to the Chiefs that were listed on the official game book that they send out. So the Chiefs will have 20 of 22 back, and they will also, since I consider specialist people too from time to time, they will technically be 23 of 25 with Colquitt, Butker, and James Winchester as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, the only ones missing from that list are Stefan Wisniewski, who signed with his hometown Steelers, and then Reggie Ragland. And, Ragland probably wasn't the best of fits in Spagnuolo's system with his struggles in coverage as it was. So
you make points I can't dispute, Todd. So, but Bashaud Breeland,
I will say though, Ragland still deserves a lot of credit for helping turn around that run defense last year, though. So.
Yeah, they used him correctly towards what his skill set was of going downhill, so I don't dispute that one bit, even though they had to take him out on the field certain times so that they could bring in somebody that could not be a mismatch in coverage against backs and receivers and tight ends. So that we'll see how that works out and what the Chiefs potentially do at the linebacker spot coming up here. That'll be very intriguing in the draft. We talked about that last week, but we are moving on here in a little bit to cornerback and wide receiver this week, but to finish on Bashaud Breeland, bringing him back on a one-year deal worth up to $4.5 million, the Chiefs are going to somehow figure out a way to fit it all under the cap. And they also, Todd, I don't know if you saw this, they brought in a punter, the Notre Dame punter, Newsom. Are you nervous for your boy, Dustin Colquitt? You're a little nervous now, Todd?
He's not a spring chicken anymore, and he eats up a fair amount of the salary cap for a punter. And when you factor in the amount of money they paid Harrison Butker before last season, that's a lot of money they're paying specialists right now. I would be disappointed, obviously, if Colquitt didn't get to go out on his own terms, so to speak. But, from a business standpoint, I would understand if whether it's Jack Fox or whoever, you know, they have hanging around, if someone can beat him out for the job, and that's kind of the way it goes in the NFL, man.
I knew when I saw that, I knew I needed to check on you and see if you were in a corner eating a carton of maybe Ben & Jerry's or some other ice cream that you enjoyed.
No, I didn't pick up any Ben & Jerry's when I was at the store, so I can't really eat my feelings in that way right now.
Oh, Todd, I feel terrible for you that you can't eat your feelings.
I haven't made my weekly grocery store run yet, so maybe I'll pick up some Ben & Jerry's when I'm there.
Okay, so my question for you is, if you were going to eat your feelings, obviously we've established for me that it's Wendy's. So remember, people, Wendy's does not equal happy for me when it comes to eating food. But for you, what's an eating your feelings food for you?
Barbecue. I barbecue is a little like alcohol. You can have it when you're happy. You can have it when you're sad. I think it helps calm you when you're angry. If you're depressed and you're not worried about gaining weight, then I would say barbecue is a good option. Barbecue is an all moods food for me.
So you don't have a go-to that would make you sad?
No, I don't have a go-to food. I'm more into music, when I'm having to get up in my feelings.
So you listen to a lot of Coldplay then, is what you're telling me?
That's when I'm in a good mood.
Oh,
sir.
Okay. For people that don't know, Todd literally has like 5 Coldplay t-shirts, and every time I see him wear one, I make fun of him for it.
Yeah, well, I get one at every concert I go to, and I've seen them like 5 times, so.
Yeah, you have 5 more t-shirts than I do then, Todd. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, I know. You just wear the one over and over at work, so.
I don't have any Coldplay t-shirts. Don't have any of those.
I just meant one t-shirt total.
Mm-hmm, and it's the Chiefs Super Bowl champions t-shirt, Todd.
All right, so.
Yeah, we're going to get to draft prospects.
Back to Michelle Breland. I mean, we talked about this back in January. He's a guy that, for the right price, you wanted to bring back. You wanted to keep that veteran presence on the defense. And I think a one-year $4.5 million deal is the right price. I still, though, nice segue here, don't think it eliminates the need for cornerback on this Chiefs roster, which is why I think there's a chance that they'll go for somebody in the early rounds in the draft.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, whenever you and I had originally done the podcast, I'd kind of heard that what Breland may be seeking on the market was somewhere in that $8 to $10 million range. And for me personally, I didn't want the Chiefs to spend more than $8 million in 1 year for him. I thought that was a reasonable price. And for them to be able to get him, given everything that's going on, I mean, you hate that may have played into the factor, but at the same time, He's got a contract for the year. He's going to be a multimillionaire again. To get $4.5 million, I thought that was a good price for the Chiefs. I thought that was a win-win for both sides. And, I mean, look, he knows the system, and you don't have to reach for another corner. You can get a corner, and I think you should get a corner, just like you kind of said. But you don't have to say, okay, we really need one now because we don't have Fuller here and we don't have Breland here. So I think that...
I mean, I think what it allows the Chiefs to do is kind of let the board fall to them. Cause, and we touched, I touched on this in an article at kshb.com earlier, / Chiefs earlier this year. The Chiefs being drafting number 32, it's almost impossible for them to know who's going to be available at that point. So they're just going to have to create their board and then check guys off as they go along. Because... and then hope that somebody they really like and they really think can be a difference maker is still sitting there when they finally do draft. So whether that's a guy like a Kenneth Murray, linebacker out of Oklahoma, or, Patrick Queen, if he would fall deep in the draft for some reason, or if it's a corner they really like, somebody like that, they could also go interior offensive line. I think they could go wide receiver. There's no shortage of directions. If the right tight end is there, maybe that's an option for him too. I mean, I think the Chiefs are just going to have to wait and see how the round develops.
You make points, Todd. You make points. I'm very proud of you. This quarantine hasn't got you down when it comes to point making. So, with that said, you've had a little bit of time on your hands to watch some of the upcoming draft prospects here, and we're going to start to dive into the cornerbacks. So, for you, Todd, Who were some of your favorite cornerbacks? Why were they? And then I'll get to my next question after that.
Well, I think Ohio State, Jeff Okuda is kind of the bell of the ball, so to speak, in this cornerback draft. You know, he's long, he's lean, he's got great technique. I think he's a little bit vulnerable to speed guys because he tends to stay flat-footed at the snap. You know, but I see why a lot of teams love him. You know, and look, he's not going to be there for the Chiefs to pick at 32 anyway. You know, and I'm not sure whether, you know, a lot of these guys are, but the one guy I really liked was Christian Fulton out of LSU. He's fantastic in man coverage. He's got real fluid hips. And the film I watched, I didn't see him take a lot of bad steps. Like, he's got really good instinct. You know, he's able to stay in the receiver's hip pocket, you know. You know, I mean, one of the differences I saw between him and, like, C.J. Henderson out of Florida, who's another guy, and Henderson's maybe a little bit faster, and both those guys are pretty versatile. But Henderson was really susceptible on in-breaking routes. He didn't do a good job driving on those slants and things like that and getting to in position to break up passes. Fulton was a guy who did have that ability. And so I like him a little bit better than C.J. Henderson because of that. I also think Fulton's a guy who's better in run support, even though he may not have quite the elite speed that a Henderson does. Another guy that really surprised me that I liked was Cameron Dantzler. And when you look at his combine performance, you know, he ran a 4.64, and he doesn't play that slow. I'm wondering if there wasn't something going on, and if that time maybe not a little bit off from what his true speed is, because he's a lot better in coverage staying with guys downfield than his 40 time would indicate. Now, some of that is because they had him play pretty far off the line of scrimmage at times at Mississippi State, he's a guy who plays with an edge. He's long and athletic, very good in run support. You know, in some ways, he's a little bit like a poor man Jeff Okuda with some of the athletic ability. Okuda's a little bit bigger, you know, a little bit more physical, a little bit more stocky. But those are probably my top four guys that I saw on tape. But then there's a few others. Noah Igbinogheni from Auburn. My God, I kind of hope the Chiefs don't draft him just because I don't want to have to spell that name repeatedly in draft copy. So,
look, I just want to tell you right now, it took a little bit to get Tano Passanio down. Okay, it took me a little bit to remember how to spell that name for a while. So, I mean, don't. You know, just give it time. I mean, if he's the one that they end up drafting, then you know, you'll get it just like I got Tano passing you.
Yeah, no, and look, Igbinogheni, or however you pronounce it, he's got really good feet and coverage. He's a converted wide receiver, so he's still learning the position. His parents were, I think, Olympic sprinters for Nigeria or something like that. So he's got really good speed and physicality. He doesn't panic on the deep ball, which a lot of guys, C.J. Henderson's another guy, you see him, he gets a little grabby, you know, when he feels like the receiver might have a step on him. And at the next level, he could get dinged for that with a lot of Orlando Scandrick-type penalties, you know. But Noah doesn't have that issue. So he's another guy that impressed me on tape.
And, Ty, that's your primary corners, right? You don't have anybody else that surprised you?
Of the guys I saw,
yeah.
those were the five I liked the most, yeah.
All right, well, I'll get into my list then. Obviously, you already talked about him, Jeff Okuda from Ohio State. What surprised me, or what I enjoyed watching him, I go watch his tape all day, is he had really good clothes. He's comfortable in his back pedal and quarter turn. He's athletic ability. I mean, it jumps out at you on tape. And then his drive on the football I thought was really good. I thought he's a good tackler in open field. I thought he's like a missile when he tackles, but he's under control and hits hard. I thought he baited quarterbacks routinely, trusted his speed, didn't grab, adjusted the ball well, and saw the field and routes really well, and I thought his recovery speed was really good. So I understand why he's number one. Like you kind of said, I mean, he's probably not going to get to the Chiefs, and if he did, then something happened. Something got leaked out on draft day.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not discounting that he could fall, but it's going to be something that we don't know about. So And in this unique time, I'm assuming they're gonna. It's obviously gonna have to be leaked out through social media, or maybe there's gonna be something on a, or it'll be like the all-time trivia thing where something happened on like a FaceTime or Zoom that gets leaked that way. Who knows what's gonna happen there? Guy that I really like.
Well, but he's also from every report I've heard, he's also a high character guy. So he's a guy I'd be stunned if stuff like that came out about. So I just scratch your coot off. That's a dream that's not happening with the Chiefs.
All right, next guy for me is TCU's Jeff Gladney. I thought he's a balanced corner that covered well in both man and zone. I thought he was
ferocious. Is this the guy that you hinted to on Twitter about your new love of the cornerback draft?
It was one of the three. Yeah, it was one of the three. But he's the top one. He's got the top place in my heart. If I had kids, he would be my favorite of the kids. But luckily, I don't have kids, so I don't have to worry about playing favorites. But I will if I'm a dad someday. He's ferocious like Marcus Peters. If the ball's in the air, it's his. He wants it. He's going to take it from you. I think he tracks the ball really well, especially in zone coverage. I love the attitude he tackles with. Saw a blitzer off the edge. He understands how to push a receiver to the boundary. And he just kind of plays with that aggressiveness and attitude that I really liked.
How are his punting the ball into the stand skills, though?
That did not come up in the tape. But, you know, I mean, maybe there can be a competition at a practice down the road if he ends up in Kansas City. We can see how that works out.
Right.
Next guy on the list that I really, really liked was Jalen Johnson from Utah. He's a very aggressive corner that I liked his athletic ability. I thought it rivaled some of the top prospects. And then he sees the route combinations really really well. I thought he did better than I expected he would. And he's a physical presence as a tackler. Loved A.J. Terrell from Clemson. I thought he had a real good feel of man coverage. Thought he did a good job of getting his head turned around. He didn't panic, and he just closes the distance and space while maintaining leverage to be able to make a play. Willing to help in the run support. I thought he had a good grasp of leverage and understanding positioning. And then he can drive really well in zone. This one is another one of my favorites. Amik Robinson from Louisiana Tech. He's a playmaker, in my opinion, a little bit smaller. He doesn't necessarily fit the stature that the Chiefs probably are going to go after at cornerback, but he's too much of a playmaker to ignore. Thought he played with that similar attitude I'd referenced on Johnson and then also on Gladney. Really fearless guy, despite his size, when he comes up and lays a guy out on a tackle. I thought he read the ball really well. Thought he had good speed to make plays. I thought he's a guy who has a very physical press. Thought he had a very physical mentality and nature to him. Relentless attitude. I know people are going to knock his size, but the way he plays just makes up for it. So I was really impressed with that. Bryce Hall was another guy from Virginia. I loved his size. I know he had the broken leg that was a pretty big concern. So
yeah, he had ankle injuries too during the course of the season. So you know, there were durability issues potentially there.
So I think he'll probably be lower in the draft than what his ability was when he's healthy. And thought he was a heavy hitter in both as a blitzer and a tackler. Gets a little grabby because, I mean, he's not able to rely on his athletic ability like some of the guys I previously mentioned. So he has to kind of hold to kind of be able to maintain a position against them. He looks like a really good zone coverage corner from what I saw. But he's definitely aggressive, played with attitude, and I thought he did a solid job overall. But those were kind of my top corners and kind of the ones that I was really intrigued with. So I think we
It's interesting. It's interesting. You know, Trevin Diggs is a guy that he's high on some lists, but you know, when I watched, I saw a guy who didn't like to tackle and who got turned around a lot, struggled to locate the ball in man coverage, and he's another converted wide receiver. The one thing I really liked about Diggs, who's the brother of Stephon Diggs, who's now with the Bills, was his ability to recover in coverage. And that's about the only thing I really didn't like about Jalen Johnson or Bryce Hall. In a lot of the games I saw, if they got beat off the line, they struggled to catch back up. And my concern there is, you know, if you're in the NFL and you get beat in that position and you don't have the ability to recover, I think that gets exposed a little bit more. So for me, I like Johnson and Hall a lot. I liked a lot of the attributes you talked about. You know, and like you said, with Bryce Hall, if he's in zone and he's not having to necessarily run with guys all the time, that's a fit. But if you're going to ask him to have to run down the field with guys as an outside corner from time to time, those two guys, I just worry a little bit about the recovery speed.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. And then like you said about Diggs, yeah, the thing I saw with him, we're talking about Diggs from Alabama, if you're just now joining the podcast. Yeah. I'm kidding. I know you're not. You've been listening the entire time, but I've always wanted to say that. With Diggs, I think a lot of quarterbacks are going to bait him with his aggressiveness, and I think a lot of teams are going to run double moves at him. I would totally do that against him, and I think you can force a lot of pass interferences with him and how grabby he gets at times. So I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains there for him as a corner. And for the Chiefs, they don't have to have the best players in the world, but I think if they have well-balanced corners, I think that's really more what Steve Spagnuolo's after, to where a guy that has the football IQ, can see route combinations well, can adjust to them, can work well chemistry and mentality-wise with Tyrann Mathieu and with Breeland and with Tarvarius Ward and Juan Thornhill and Daniel Sorensen. I think they're going to try to find the right chemistry in a corner that can come in and work with those guys and work at the same level, and also take coaching from a lot of those guys so that he could hopefully be a starter within the next year or two and potentially replace Breeland if he moves on in free agency the following year or whatever they may end up doing. So that's it for our A block at this point. So that is all we're going to talk about on corners today. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and whenever Todd and I come back, we're going to move on to receivers. And it's a little bit of a long list on that one. So we'll be right back here on 4th and 1.
We see you looking for any way you can help.
That's why 41 Action News, along with Kansas City area broadcasters, are united for one KC.
We're coming together with you for a digital day of giving, raising money for the Kansas City COVID-19 Rapid Response Fund.
The need right now is great.
But that's when the true spirit of KC shines.
Join us Thursday. All donations stay right here in Kansas City.
One voice, one mission, one KC, right here on 41 Action News.
There's something really, really beautiful on the other side of the storm.
Everyone finds something positive to do each day.
We're going
to
get through these times. I'm going to get through it. You're going to get through it.
We'll get through this together. I promise.
Everybody, and welcome back to this edition of 4th and 1, the second part of our show. We are now going to move on to wide receivers, some draft picks that we hope can end up in Kansas City. So we will see if those prospects potentially can put on that fancy neon Chiefs draft hat. Todd, did you order one of those on NFL Shop yet?
No, I ordered 8.
Oh, wow. Are you going to give me one of them, or is you just going to?
Well, one's for mowing the lawn, and then the other 7. Are for every day of the week, so okay. I have my Monday hat, my Tuesday hat, you know, on down, all the way through Sunday.
So you're basically like John. You're like John Dorsey was. He just had like 8. He had like 7 sweatshirts and khakis for every day of the
week.
Right.
Well, I mean, look, if I want to wear the hat again, I figured I needed a second one.
Well, and it's funny because whenever I asked him about that one time, what he told me was he'd went to like a Catholic private school growing up when he was a kid. And so, like, they just wore uniforms every day, so he just grew accustomed to it. And he basically said it was one less decision you had to make in the day. it was funny when he told me that. So, I mean, you just see Dorsey every day in his sweatshirt. Didn't matter if it was 90 outside, and then he'd have either the khaki shorts or the khaki pants on, and then he'd have his Nike tennis shoes. So, you know. I wonder what he's doing during the pandemic. If he's just letting those checks come in and just hanging out with his family.
Right. I think he's fine.
yeah. Financially, I think he's okay. I think they'll be all right.
Yeah.
So, Todd, tell me, receivers. What receivers impress you? One thing I do want to say though. Normally, I look at like 35 to 40 wide receivers in a typical draft. This one, I looked at like 70, and there's still guys between between 40 to 70 that I think could legitimately get drafted on some NFL teams and be quality priority free agencies, free agents that make NFL rosters. This is
unlike corners, I think this is a really deep draft wide receiver with a lot of really good options. I mean, I think outside of Okuda, every cornerback that we talked about in A block has some elite skills and then some very demonstrable flaws.
Right.
So it just comes down to what trade-off are you willing to make? But that's the case with almost every prospect. Meanwhile, at wide receiver, I mean, there's a lot of guys that I think do a lot of things really well and are going to be very good NFL players.
I do not disagree with you. So who was your top choice on receivers got talent?
Here's the funny thing. I went into it, I kind of knew who I thought my favorite guy was, and then after actually watching the film, I ended up liking CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma the most. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
His ability to make guys miss in space. And then the reason I like him as a Chiefs fit more than say, Jerry Jeudy, who's clearly the best route runner in the class, or more than a Justin Jefferson, who you know that I love, than Henry Ruggs, who has almost Tyreek Hill-like speed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that really impressed me about CeeDee Lamb was, though, he's a guy who doesn't give up on routes, and he keeps fighting through traffic. And if you think about the way that Patrick Mahomes plays and the number of times, you know, Terrence Taylor always likes to talk about those second reaction plays. And, you know, in those times where Mahomes is extending the play and you need someone to freelance with him, and Tyreek Hill is so good at doing that, CeeDee Lamb already shows advanced ability to do that as well. He tends to round off some of his routes, especially outbreaking routes, but he does a great job finding space in the zone, and he is devastating on the intermediate crossing routes. He's a guy who just keeps working and keeps working. He's got good hands. He lets some balls get to his body. But another thing that I really like, it's a little thing, but even when it's a called run play, he sells his route well and blocks his man every time. He's a guy who I just love his motor and the way he goes. Because a lot of times you see wide receivers just take those plays off. And look, I understand some guys need reps, especially if they're running a lot of deep routes. But I just like the way CeeDee Lamb plays. And he's 6'2", 200 pounds. He's got pretty good size, a little bit bigger than Ruggs or Jeudy, and about the same as Justin Jefferson at LSU. But Lamb's the guy who ended up impressing me the most. Who was the most press one for you?
Yeah, I mean, Lamb was the same one for me. What I felt made him so unique in this draft, and this is why I feel like he's kind of the top well-rounded receiver overall in terms of athletic ability, skill set, and what you're not going to have to teach him. Like, the one thing, though, that you don't have to teach him, and I think what was so crucial for him that impressed me the most is his contact balance is really good, but above all else, just his vision in the open field and how he can break a tackle, stop on a dime, explode, and change direction, and then he just turns routine plays into touchdowns. And it's just because of that explosion to where everybody's getting around him. He sees a little crease there to his left side, and then just takes off. And it's goes from 0 to 100 in like a second and a half. And I mean, that's what's so unique from him from any other receiver in this class, and what kind of I think makes him number one is because of that. And then I think he's really savvy at creating cushion in his routes and using his body to maintain the separation. Really smart at that. And then above all else, I mean, the dude's fearless. I mean, the way he'll high point some of those footballs and go above and track it down and adjust to it. I mean, that, like you said, he just has a different level of competitiveness that he just refuses to be denied on any play.
Yeah. You got one of the Alabama guys next?
I do. I got Henry Ruggs from Alabama as my number two.
That's my number two as well.
Oh, my God. I'll go first, and then we'll hear what you thought. We'll just trade it back and forth. Like, we're just passing back and forth, but we are not passing back and forth because that would not be correct social distancing,
Because of the corona.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Which, did you see somebody sent us that tweet earlier this week? I can't remember who I am, but it made me laugh for about a solid hour whenever you mentioned the Rona thing and somebody had found the Office Space thing with characters, and they had me down to a T, and they had you down to a T on it.
Yeah,
Oh, it's one of the greatest tweets I've had sent to us. So whoever did that, bless you.
The funny thing is, though, when I'm editing, I almost always insist on COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So I was like, apparently as an editor, like in my professional life, mm-hmm. I am Dwight. So
mm-hmm.
that made me a little sad.
Yeah, I think I told him I was either Dwight or Oscar. And I think they predicted that I was an Oscar who had the exact SARS-CoV-2.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, but Ruggs, what I will say about him is, well, like you said, he's got Tyreek Hill type speed. I mean, he's the most explosive receiver in the draft. He's got elite speed from start to finish. I mean, he can outrun literally every pursuit angle. The corner, I saw one corner safety trying to get him from the other side of the field. I was like, just don't do it, man. You're going to pull a hamstring. And he just outran. I was like, nope, I'm gone. And I think he's willing to be physical and blocking, which I was really impressed with. And then obviously.
Fierce blocker. Very fierce
block. He got a lot of attitude as blocking. I love that. Love that from any player, especially receivers, because, like you said, they're not real big on blocking. They're like, yeah, what's up, dude? You doing all right? Cool. How's the family? Yeah. Awesome.
A lot of guys play patty cake.
Yeah.
And I know that it seems like a little thing, but when you're talking about taking a play from a 5-6 yard gain to potentially breaking it open, a lot of times it comes down to those receivers blocking on the edge or blocking on the outside and creating the lane for those big plays to happen. So it matters. It matters if you want to have an explosive offense.
Mm-hmm. So was there anything that stood out to you about him?
Yeah. I mean, the big thing is he just wins his route. Whether the guy lines up way off because he's worried about his speed or whether they try to press him because he's 5'11", 188, he wins his routes consistently. I was a little bit worried because of his size about his ability to beat press man coverage, but the games I saw, he was able to do it. And, you know, his speed doesn't always show up, but the threat of his speed always affects the defense. And it's one of those things you see that with Tyreek. And you mentioned it with CeeDee Lamb, but the balance, the low center of gravity, his ability to – he doesn't quite have the shifty capabilities, I don't think, that CeeDee Lamb does to make guys miss in space, although he's certainly capable. But his balance, his low center of gravity allows him to bounce off some guys. And he's so quick at getting back up to speed. You know, once, like you said, once he gets that step, he's gone.
Mm-hmm. So who's your next most impressive receiver?
So my next two guys are they're easily. I mean, I think these top four guys are all assets for are huge assets for any team. I think these guys can play in any system.
Mm-hmm.
The big reason that I knocked Jerry Jeudy and Justin Jefferson down a little bit was because they're very inconsistent with their hands.
You knocked down Jefferson, and your favorite player?
I did. I did. Well, he dropped more balls than I like to see a receiver drop. And in my experience, that's the one thing that you really can't fix in a wide receiver. If a guy loses concentration and has a tendency to get the drop, you know, and both these guys did it about once a game, sometimes more. That's just one of those things that doesn't seem to go away, at least in my experience watching guys progress from college into the NFL. If they have a tendency to drop the ball, I think they're, you know, that kind of continues. Jerry Jeudy is my number three. He's got great speed. He's got pretty good size at 6'1". He will be running an out route and pick a ball off his shoe top, and you think, oh my goodness, this guy's got incredible hands. And then he'll be running a post and he'll be 2 yards past the guy and he'll just flat drop the ball. And that's where it was a little bit frustrating because he runs routes better than most guys in the NFL run routes. He worked primarily in the slot, but I think he's got the speed at 4.45 to go outside if you want him to. He's done a lot of pre-snap motion. He's not going to take a lot of time to adjust to a pro offense. He's willing to work the middle of the field and show some toughness there. He's another guy he's kind of willing to block. He's not necessarily great at it. And like CeeDee Lamb, with the ball in his hands, he can make a lot of guys miss and he accelerates well. But to me, the most competitive guy that I saw on tape was Justin Jefferson out of LSU. That guy's competitive and tough at everything he does. He's another guy comfortable with anything that an NFL offense is going to throw at him because he's lined up everywhere, he's motioned everywhere, he's comfortable with that. I think he tracks the deep ball a little bit better. And it's just been the hands on those guys. And if they were a little bit more consistent, they might have been my one and two.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go a little bit further down on the list. Obviously, T. Higgins from Clemson. He's a guy that I enjoyed. Thought he had great size and deceptive speed to go for that size. Thought he was a solid route runner.
He's my number five. He's my number five, yeah.
So I thought he was a solid route runner. I thought he had crisp routes for his size. Thought it was better than I expected. And I thought he's more explosive than I anticipated with his frame when the football's in his hands.
He plays a lot faster than you think for a 6'4", 216-pound guy.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike Judy and Jefferson, T. Higgins' hands are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where I think he stood out to me is, like, other than those things I talked about, because you guys his size shouldn't be able to do some of the stuff that I was just referencing. But he can win the way he wins the jump balls and contested catches. Like, he's such a red zone threat for an NFL team that if the Chiefs, like, he's kind of what a guy with the Chiefs that I'm like, come to the red zone, that's the dude you throw it to right there. I thought he had great.
He uses that body well.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I worry about a little bit with him. You know, it's a good thing he's good at contested catches because that lack of kind of the elite speed shows up on the vertical routes. He struggles to separate sometimes.
Well, we're in business because we got three receivers that Chiefs have three receivers that can go vertical. Like I said, he's very nimble for his size, and I thought he tightroped the sidelines well, and I thought he understood voids in zone coverage and where to exploit them really well. I thought that really jumped out about him at receiver. Individual that I was rather big on, most people probably aren't, is Michael Pittman Jr. from USC.
He's like T. Higgins light, man. Those guys are almost the exact same guy, I thought. Another thing I really liked about Pittman, I thought he was a really good route runner, a good blocker, and he's just really powerful. He's hard to tackle. He tracked the deep ball a lot better than I thought. He played almost exclusively at X receiver, so he didn't do a lot of motion or things like that because he was tied to the line of scrimmage. But, man, his ability to go high point the ball and make plays was really impressive. I liked Michael Pittman a lot. And I'm always terrified of those USC receivers, but I liked what I saw on tape from Pittman.
Mm-hmm. What jumped out about him to me, the attitude that he plays with, how relentless he is as a blocker, like the way he just punishes people, like just wants to bury him in the dirt like an offensive lineman. That was something I really enjoyed, and I thought he put in the work on the finer points. I thought he refused to be denied on a play. He's willing to play special teams. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what he'll do whatever he has to do to be on the field. And I thought he'll outleap you, and he refuses to lose. And he may not have elite speed, but I thought the way he breaks tackles and when he's running full stride, it's impressive to see.
Yeah. I mean, like he and T. Higgins, I think, are both guys that would immediately be an excellent complement to what the Chiefs already have because of that red zone ability, because of their size, their ability to use those big bodies. In tight quarters.
Right. So who's next on your list there, Tom?
Next guy for me is probably Denzel Mims out of Baylor.
Okay.
He's physical. He's hard to knock off the routes. He's another guy who loves blocking. He's a real tough kid. I mean, he's a guy who loves to play. He's a guy who consistently wins at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't quite have Tyreek speed, but he's sub 4.4. Which for a 6'3", 207-pound guy, that'll get it done in the NFL. So,
yeah, for me, I like Mims, but a guy that I'm a rather big fan of is Devin Duvernay from Texas. And the guy I really liked him. He's a quick twitch slot receiver that would destroy in the Chiefs scheme. I mean, he's what I think the Chiefs would have liked Albert Wilson to be or become.
Yeah.
But never did because he just would run towards the sidelines halfway through half of the field. It's like, no, get vertical, dude. Stop running diagonally. Get vertical. So I thought Duvernay, I thought he was quick and fast. I thought he's both those things. I mean, And I thought he did a good job emphasizing his head and shoulder fakes. I thought he's got a good stop start. I thought he tracked the ball well. I thought he's very explosive when he gets a clean release. And then in the first 10 yards, I mean, he's a lethal, just a lethal receiver. So that's a guy that I think in the Chiefs system, I mean, I think he could be Albert Wilson right now, but I think with the right coaching and just over time, the maturation, like I think in the Chiefs offense, he could be the equivalent of what Julian Edelman was up in the Patriots. But that's a lot of things going right, and I think that's kind of where the ceiling is, and I think Albert Wilson's the floor. I know that's a big difference between the two of them, but that's kind of what the NFL is. If you do these little finer points, then those type of things can lead you to be in different plateaus, just regardless of skill set.
Yeah, another guy I think in the mid rounds, that might be a good fit in the slot for the Chiefs would be KJ Hamler out of Penn State. He's a little guy, but my goodness, every time I saw a safety line up against him in the slot, that safety got burnt. He's a little bit inconsistent tracking the deep ball, but. I thought he was a pretty good route runner, and he blocked well for his size. And he's another guy that, you know, like you talked about, if he gets the right coaching and if he accepts the coaching, I think he could be a real weapon for Reed Mahomes to work with.
Yeah, I do not disagree with you one bit on that one. I'm just going to touch on a couple final guys very, very quickly. Joe Reed from Virginia, I thought he had good speed for receiver. I thought he could be a good slot receiver for him. But I think he could immediately be a returner on kick and punt for him. Thought he had solid vision in the open field. Like I said, he'll need coaching on the finer points as a route runner. More of a long-term project, but I think he's a guy special teams-wise, and he could kind of come in and be your fifth in that regard. And then Gabriel Davis from UCF. Thought he had a good blend of size and speed. Thought he was deceptive on his speed on his deep ball. Thought he caught the ball cleanly. Thought he had solid breaks on his routes. Thought he had really good strength that allowed him to kind of power through some tackles, and I think he'd be a really promising possession receiver. So, I mean, those were a handful of guys. I'll have a longer list than the overall big board that'll do, but those were kind of some of the guys that stood out to me personally overall. Anybody else that stood out to you, Todd?
No, I think that about covers it. There were some other there's guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones from Michigan who – he's big, ran sub 4.5. He's got good hands, but all the athleticism and the production you would think he would have, you just didn't see it. And there's some other guys that are getting a lot of love, whether it's Brandon Ayuk at Arizona State or LaVisca Chenault, I'm not as in love with as some other evaluators.
All right, Todd, well, that's all for this round of prospect things. We'll come back for our final thing, and we will check the tweets. Are you ready for that, Todd?
I'm always ready, son.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it, because we're going to do it next when we return.
This is a really tough time for families, and so our goal is to try and feed as many families as possible.
Open for business.
We'll put together the orders, we'll pack them up, we'll put them in our delivery vans, and then they take them to our customers' houses.
We have people who can come here and get food and then take it to those who can't get out of their home.
Doing everything you can to keep your doors open.
We call them when we're on our way to their house or apartment, let them know that we're on our way. We drop everything outside their door with their packing slip.
Trying to space it out, just to make sure that it doesn't lose its flair and flavor, and the success has been great.
And serve customers.
We served over 700 people with food, and that is a huge jump from what we normally serve.
We've basically deployed all of our equipment to our community.
We see you
looking for ways to support small businesses in your neighborhood.
Our counter for our register, we are signing four people.
We've had a lot of mouths to help feed.
We decided that we wanted to try to do something to help our local people in the same scenario.
That's why 41 Action News is here.
Very grateful for everyone that donated and made this possible.
Everyone that we've had drive through today has been very thankful.
Just a big thank you to all the medical staff and the nurses that are out there.
We want to make sure that they continue to get the health care that they need.
A meal every day, so
beneficial and so appreciated.
To get the word out.
We are doing our best to literally talk to our neighbors across the way.
Love you!
Our goal in all of this is to provide a sense of stability and routine.
We see you, Kansas City.
We've got wonderful people that work here. They have really good hearts, and they want to do what they can to help.
You know, the box isn't that big, but the heart behind it is huge.
We see you, Kansas City.
The world has a parent and grandparents and aunts and uncles, neighbors. We have to take care of them
right here on 41 Action News.
And welcome back to the final segment of the 4th and 1 podcast for this week. I am Nick Jacobs, joined by Todd Palmer, who is still quarantining at home. Todd, so what's on the Palmer household menu tonight?
Steak and chicken quesadillas. And then this weekend we're going to make crack chili chicken.
Oh, I knew you were going to, you really know how to cut through to a person to make them sad. Because anybody doesn't know, Todd's wife Angie, when she makes that, like that's what heaven tastes like, and I'm pretty sure. But it is phenomenal, and the fact Todd said that to me, you know, that hurts my head and my heart. And I may have to go to Wendy's now. So thanks for that, Todd.
I'm sorry, but just remember to properly social distance in the drive-thru.
Thank you. I'll try to keep that in mind. But anyways, we're going to do the final thing here. That'll be this edition of Check the Tweets. Todd, are you ready to answer a question?
I'm always ready. I don't always have good answers, but I'm always ready.
Yeah. All right, this one's going to come from Kevin. He asks, easy one. Who do each of you want the Chiefs to draft in the first round? Let's assume the player is realistic to drop to the Chiefs.
Man, I mean, like I said, it's just so hard to gauge this draft, and I honestly haven't gotten around to studying some of the interior offensive linemen yet, and that's really a position that it's not sexy, but you see guys picked in that you know 30 to 35 range all the time that are interior linemen, guards that end up being great players for a long time. Look, I'll just put it this way. If there's another Will Shields in the draft that they can get at 32 and stick him in at left guard or right guard for the next 15 years, then that's good value at that pick. And like I said, it ain't sexy. It doesn't make for a good headline. But I haven't got to study enough picks. I mean, I guess part of me hopes that one of those top five receivers, you know, maybe a T. Higgins somehow slides all that way, which is probably unlikely, or a Kenneth Murray somehow, or for me, Christian Fulton, if guys don't like him as much as I do and he's available, I would be happy if the Chiefs picked him up. So any of those guys, but I'm going to have to do a little more film study before I can say anything definitive there.
Okay, I'm going to be the opposite, and I'm going to say Jeff Gladney from TCU. I don't even care. I don't care who's else on the board. Give me Gladney. I want some Jeff Gladney in my Chiefs life. Okay. No, I would love to have him here. I mean, if Isaiah Simmons somehow dropped, I'd be all for that one. But no, I don't think that's gonna happen.
I would take Jeff Okuda too.
Yeah, and then Patrick Queen's obviously another guy that I'd be intrigued by. And then if any of the other receivers we talked about dropped, if CeeDee Lamb dropped, I would.
I mean, like if Henry Ruggs is sitting there at 32, I don't think they can run up and put that name in fast enough. You know what I mean?
Your Zoom meeting has been canceled. Oh no!
Like every NFL team will be just like sobbing if somehow Henry Ruggs is available at 32, and then they realize that like now you've got to cover him and Tyreek with Patrick Mahomes running that offense. Like it's over, kids. It's over.
So, Todd, what question do you did you pick out from the bunch?
Well, let's go with Luke Eugene. I don't know what his haste.
Let's just call him
anyway,
Luke.
Luke Eugene.
Call him Luke.
Yeah, Luke. Luke wants to know what's the surprise position the Chiefs will draft that will puzzle and upset all the fans. I know that you want to say punter here, but I'm going to say that you can't because Dustin Colquitt hasn't been cut yet, okay?
I would never say punter in a million years. We've already got this fellow named Newsom that's coming in to compete against him. I don't know if Newsom's got about five and a half second hang time and can punt at 71 yards. So I'm just letting you know right now, Newsom, he got a little bit of a leg on him. So Chiefs, they have a unique way where they can find guys. I mean, they found Cairo Santos. I remember when he was competing against Suckup, and I watched him in OTAs, and I tweeted out, I was like, the way that ball thuds off his foot and how far Cairo was booming those to the back pylon versus where Suckup was kicking him at about the 10 to 5, I was like, I think old Suckup's got some real competition there. I remember some people on my notification on Twitter like, no way, and then he beat him out. And I was like, guys, I'm here watching practice. Like, I can see, like, this is going out of the end zone. So, no, I will not be talking about specialists. You can pick those up as priority free agents for the most part if you want somebody to compete against somebody you've already got established. Obviously,
so it's not going to be competition for James Winchester.
Well, I don't know, man. There might be. Never know. Had some snaps last year that didn't go. Odds were not in his favor on that one.
Well, but probably not at number 32.
Yeah, no, definitely not at number 32. But I would say if there would be, I mean, I think people would be upset if it was an offensive lineman, so I'm going to obviously go with that one. But I would not be upset if it keeps the franchise upright for a decade. So I stand on that one. What about you?
I mean, the one that I could see that would really irritate fans is if there's a safety out there that they think can be a really good slot corner, mm-hmm. Or that has some traits that they like, as maybe a cover linebacker, and then they pick the guy, I could see people losing their minds because, you know, they're like, oh, we don't need any safety depth, and just if it's one of those situations where they don't quite understand what the plan is for that guy and what they see in that prospect. I think sometimes fans get tied into position a little bit too much, and you know, they want something sexy there in the first round, but that's not always the best way to build a team.
All right, Todd, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Pray for me because since school's out, I've got another 2 months of this being a homeschool dad and working from home, which has its pluses. I love getting to spend time with the boys, and the commute's great. I just had to walk up a few stairs to get home and see the family. But I think I'm just like everybody else. We're all going a little stir-crazy. We all want things to get back to normal a little bit. I think we're all kind of hitting that wall where, you know, you want to, you know, maybe start taking some chances, or you know, you want to go hang out with friends and stuff like that, and it stinks because it's still important right now. I mean, we're just entering the peak, I think, of all this, and so you know, it's still hard to see light at the end of the tunnel a little bit. So we hope this podcast can be a little ray of sunshine that helps you guys forget for a moment, maybe, that we're all stuck at home.
You know, it'd be a little ray of sunshine for me, Todd.
well, you'll just erase it if I say it.
Yeah.
But crack chili chicken.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. If you don't get to have it, that will make me even happier because you didn't get to enjoy it without me. So I hope I'll root for your sadness on that one.
Look, the ingredients are going on the shopping list, and I am going to make sure the wife makes it this weekend now. Thanks.
All right, Todd. I won't soon forget that, and as you know, I don't. There's some things that I don't forget. And that will be,
you have a very long memory.
That will be one of them. Right. That will be one of them.
Don't you worry. I will FaceTime you as I eat it.
I am shutting my phone off right now. But anyways, guys, thank you very much for listening. We hope you're all staying safe out there. We hope you're all doing well. We hope your family and friends and coworkers and everybody out there is doing well. And if you get a chance to do something good for somebody or to be kind, take full advantage of that because we need more of that in this world right now. So until next time, I bid you adieu. Todd, take us out.
Take care, kids.